PTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, the 11th of October. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
I'm pretty good. We're in a red flag warning in our part of the country right now. That means that it's high winds, low humidity, and ripe for fires.
Oh, for fires. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say tornadoes.
No, we get red flag warnings when they're afraid. I mean, right now, it's probably dry enough. If you walk through, tall grass wearing a pair of corduroys, you could set off a blaze.
Wow. Okay. It's one of those, I shouldn't say one of those. It is the time of the year when some areas of the country are susceptible to wildfires.
You know, we kind of got this thing. We had it yesterday. We got it again today. We'll probably have it again tomorrow.
Fun.
So
we're
hopefully
under a rain watch.
Oh,
as
wow.
Another little disturbance heading towards the Gulf.
Yeah. You know, you guys, you got to be all warmed up for that.
Yeah, I just hope if something happens, it does not hit the same area that's been decimated by Ian.
When is the unofficial end of hurricane season?
It's usually November 1st. However, some of the meteorologists, just like, you know, Fauci sending the alarm, they stretch it to November 30th. But having lived in Florida most of my life, I do not remember anything even remotely resembling a hurricane in November.
Well, I suppose that's good. So, you know, a couple more weeks, right?
Yeah, it's not too long.
All right. Well, that's good. Now, folks, we got to get something out right off the bat. If you go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning looking for tonight's podcast, you won't find it until Thursday. And that's because Diane has a quote-unquote political function to attend, which is code for Diane's having lunch at the Trumps.
Wouldn't that be nice, right?
It's actually Donald and Melania's turn to host Diane. She had him over to her house a couple of weeks ago. So,
wouldn't that be nice? You know, there is a remote, and I do say remote, possibility that it might be up late tomorrow. But if not, it will be there Thursday morning.
Well, you know, you and Melania get to chit-chat and time flies. You know, I mean, that's the way it is. No, but you've got a political function that you're attending tomorrow that's going to commandeer most of your day.
Yeah, exactly. So sorry about that, guys, but got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, you know, that's the price people like you and I pay for being involved in things. And doing what we do every once in a while, you know, luckily it happens on a day when we're not doing a show.
True.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, if it was a day for the show, guys, we'd either cut the show early, or I'd see if the event was something that I could actually miss. Not every political event is important.
No, but this one is, and yeah. You know, you're going, and it's our day off anyway, so, you know, have fun.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah, sure. So that's the deal there. Now, we got a couple other things I just want to mention real quick. NASA has released today that they were successful in budging that asteroid.
Yes, they were. Great news. And something I'd like to say is thank you, Tulsi Gabbard, for leaving that farce of a Democrat Party.
You know, I saw her YouTube thing from her podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So did I.
Yeah, she doesn't look too upset about leaving the Democrat Party.
No, and she's leaving for all the right reasons, and that's what's key. It has nothing to do with infighting or anything like that. She just no longer, as if she ever really did, support their platform. She said they're race baiting, their white hatred, their law enforcement hatred, their anti-militariness, the wokeness is just beyond belief. I mean, she did a whole list, basically, of why she's leaving. And I actually agree with everything she said.
I did, too. And really what it kind of comes down to is, like Reagan said, he didn't leave the party. The party left him.
Exactly.
You know, and that's really kind of what this comes down to. She's a little bit more pointed about it than Reagan was. And she's a little bit more specific about it than Reagan was when he made that switch. But good for her. Good for her for thinking for herself.
Exactly. That's key. The Democrats, you know, want you to be a collective whole. You cannot have an independent thought. You have to go along with whatever they say. Well, Tulsi Gabbard said no.
She said, nope, I'm going to be my own person, and good for her.
Right. And she has not announced if she's going to become a Republican, a conservative, or an independent. However, none of that is important. What's important is she left. Right. That party.
So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll see what else she has to say. I guarantee you there'll be people wanting to interview her. And I think for the time being, she's going to be happy just to be non-committal.
Yeah, and I think she's going to be on Tucker tonight, if I'm not mistaken. She was on Fox this afternoon where I saw her. And all I can say is kudos and thank you, Tulsi. A former Democrat who realized they are not a Democrat.
Found out there's one with common sense.
Exactly.
You know. Later this evening, as we work our way through the show, I'm going to be talking about Giorgia Meloni, the Italian Trump. And Diane, you've got the politicization of Hurricane Ian Part 1, which means next week there will be a Part 2.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So part one just goes from the pre-storm up until when the storm hits and certain political things that happen. But the part next week is really Biden, Intense, and a few others.
I got a preview of part two earlier today. You're going to love it, folks. You're going to love it. I did. But, you know, we need to spend the rest of this segment talking about what's going on in Ukraine, the Ukraine-Russia war, what's happening with Putin, what's going on over there. You know, folks, we always tell you we're going to keep you up to date on the latest things that are happening over there, and there's been a lot happening.
Yeah, too much happening, and it basically started with the blowing up of the bridge that went from the mainland of Russia into Crimea, which Putin illegally annexed back in, I believe it was 2014.
Right, right. And, you know, that whole thing, that explosion was caught on closed-circuit television and, you know, security cam video from the bridge itself. And it's pretty obvious it's a truck bomb. Yes. You know, there's a lot of people that are on social media right now saying, oh, those were, you know, placed, directed explosives. And no. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's a demolition expert, whether they've ever done anything or not. And you can tell pretty easily by looking at that explosion and the way the explosion goes up and, you know, all the material falling out from it. My guess, and just a guess, but my guess is that the truck bomb was the sort of thing like a fertilizer bomb.
Yeah, it had some markings of like the federal building in right. Oklahoma that was blown up. But what people need to understand first, this was a suicide bomber. And he died for what he believed in, which was Russia has to go and get out of Ukraine. And number two, at first, this was reported by the Russian news agencies to be somebody disenfranchised within Russia that did it. Within hours, though, that had shifted to this was a Ukrainian that did it.
Right.
So right now we get two different sides of who did what.
Well, that abrupt shift was kind of like we captured a flying saucer. Oh, no, it was a weather balloon.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now, nobody's 100% sure who really did it. But the thing is, it was done. It really has hurt Russia. But at the same time, it's now caused Putin to really go bomb happy on Ukraine. It's not going to help him win this war by going bomb happy.
No, and, you know, by all accounts, he's starting to hurt for missiles and armament.
Yes.
Not only soldiers, because they're plumb out of those.
I mean,
they're conscripting people up to 65 years old now. But they're running out of ammo. They're running out of, you know, missiles and bombs and things like that. So when he goes on a blitz like he did over the past couple of days, he's really kind of hurting his own war effort.
Exactly. And what's even worse about all this is that he called the bombing of the bridge a terrorist act, yet he thinks it's okay to deliberately target civilian areas, including schools and playgrounds. That's not a terrorist act. That's okay to him.
Well, and remember,
blowing up a bridge isn't.
Remember several months ago, 6-7 months ago, near the beginning of this whole thing, he hit a hospital. A maternity ward at a hospital. You know, none of that is terrorist activity.
No.
But, you know, somebody driving a truck over the bridge and blowing it up. Oh, yeah, that's, you know. Now, one thing that you got to bear in mind, folks, is the Ukrainians are not known for being state sponsors of terrorism. Truck bombing is not a thing in Ukraine or with Ukrainians. So it kind of leaves the door wide open as to who really was behind it.
Personally, I think it's disenfranchised Russian military. This has all the landmarks, basically, of some kind of military operation in the fact that the person had to have some explosive background because he knew just how far to go before it would go off and the damage that it would do. Because not only did it damage the bridge, but it damaged the rail line as well. And somebody with some kind of knowledge would have to be the one to do that. And that leads me to think it's military. The people in Russia in general, yes, you have your diehard, you know, Putin supporters, but the majority of Russians are not for this war, and neither is their military.
You know, can I toss out another possibility? And that's all we're doing here, folks. We're just
right.
naming possibilities. We don't have any grand insight at this point as to who it might be. These are theories. What about the Chechens?
I just don't think so. I think this is more, yeah, there's problems with Chechnya and all that, and Chechnya is aligned with Russia. And I just don't think so. I really think this is someone from within his own ranks, his own people, meaning his military circle. I really do.
And the only reason I throw Chechnya in there is that the Boston Marathon bombers were Chechens.
Yeah, you know, but I don't think there's any connection.
I'm not saying there's a connection between the Boston Marathon and this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. There's all sorts of different variations of possibilities as to who could be behind it. Then, you know, earlier we also had the sabotage on the pipelines.
Right. And I'm one of those that believes that Putin did this. He sabotaged his own pipeline for the simple reason, number one, it's a diversion. Keeps us, you know, a little focused there and a little less focused on Ukraine. It just draws attention to him and away from a lot of things like missing submarines, atomic submarines, and other sorted things.
Right. And there's, you know, there's that people over there have to be worried about, too, is what did they do with that submarine? Obviously, they pulled it out of the White Sea port, but where did it go?
Exactly. And that's something, folks, we should tell you that Craig and I will be doing a joint article on
In another week, maybe a couple of weeks from now.
Right.
You know, we're still trying to gather more information about that. You know, between the pipeline and the bridge and some of the other things that are going on with Putin right now, his threats to use, you know, nukes or low-level nukes or chemical weapons. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's on the table right now, and we're just trying to sort through it.
Yeah, and I have a certain, you want to call it intuition, but I have a gut feeling I know what he's going to do. And well, Craig knows what I'm talking about, but you guys will have to wait because it needs a little more research.
You know, and it's, I can tell people this much. It's something that both of us have talked about on this show in the past several months.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that I was very aware of, let's say, 6 months ago. And, you know, and then nothing came of it. But now it's suddenly back on the table. But like Diane said, you're going to have to wait because we're still trying to piece those puzzle pieces back together.
Right. And all of a sudden, in fact, over the weekend when Craig and I are talking, it just hit me like a bolt of lightning. I know what he's going to do, and I know how he's going to do it.
At least part of it. I mean, I don't think that's the end game.
I don't think it's the end game, but it'll take some of the focus off him personally, because I'm one of those, and I know there are many others out there who are afraid to say it. But Putin has a bullseye on him, and rightly so. And he needs, at this point in time, doing what he has done, that man needs to be taken out. Whether it's his own military, or the Russian people, or even a bounty hunter. The only way this is really going to end, and end soon without massive casualties, Putin has to go.
I agree with you. You know, it's just a matter of how and when.
Right.
You know, and there's all sorts of other things, too, going on. I mentioned just a few minutes ago, Putin is conscripting people up to 65 years old and as young as, what, 16?
16. So, over a quarter of a million Russian men have already deserted Russia. and have gone to other countries. They do not want to fight a war where they know chances are they're going to die, and they have no animosity to the Ukrainians. They don't see any purpose in this war, and so they're leaving. And that has forced him really to basically pick people off the street, and you are going and you are going to fight, and chances are you might very well die. He is trying to pick the older people who have had military experience, but it's not working out that well for him.
No. I mean, these are people basically, like you said, they don't want to fight. They don't want to be in this war. You know, a lot of them have that military experience, but they're done with it.
Exactly.
They're just done.
Well, you know what we also need to talk about a little bit about the G7 leaders who met with Putin, you know, via teleconference today. And there are certain things that Zelensky told them he needs desperately. Okay, he needs basically advanced weaponry.
Right.
To create an air shield for Ukraine. Now, this is something that he has asked for since day one of Biden. And Biden made all these promises of the aircraft and things he's going to give to Zelensky. He hasn't done a damn thing.
You know, and
the things that he promised the Ukrainian military, he has not delivered on.
You know, some of it has gotten to him. A lot of it hasn't. And, you know, considering how limited the Ukrainians are when it comes to weaponry, they've done a remarkable job.
Yeah. I mean, that's a ragtag army, you know, that's fighting there. These are not professional soldiers, per se. And they're doing amazing. Amazing. Right now, they're putting our woke military to shame, it's sorry to say.
Well, they're retaking a lot of territory in the eastern part of Ukraine that the Russians had moved into. Russian troops are fleeing in a lot of those areas. They're taking off so quickly, the Russian troops are, that they're leaving their own dead behind, just laying there.
Yeah. They know they've lost the ground war. So what Putin is doing now is trying to do an air war. What we should do, because people, you got to admit it to yourselves, this is, if not World War III, this is the beginning of World War III. We need to end it before it gets out of hand. So what's the right way to end it? Zelensky has asked for certain things. The G7 wants to give it to him. We haven't said anything at this point. You know, Biden, he might remember to say something in a couple of days. But what they need is they need the air power. Every time Russia bombs Kiev or other major cities, Zelensky has to have the equipment to bomb Moscow.
Right, Moscow or any of the other major cities. But, you know,
but he should go capital for capital. You bomb Ukraine's capital, we're going to bomb yours.
I wouldn't have any problem with that. Here's the problem I do have. You know, we're spending an awful lot of money, as it is, supporting Zelensky and Ukraine. There are a lot of people in this country that are mad that we're spending any money at all because we're more, seem to be anyway, more intent on defending Ukraine's borders than we are on defending our own. And
oh,
I can
absolutely.
Kind of understand that, you know. But, you know, here's the thing. Do we really want to get into a lukewarm war? It's not a cold war. You can't say it's a cold war. You can't say really it's a hot war. But do we ever want to get really into a lukewarm war against Russia, at least at this point? I don't think so.
Well, China does not appear to be totally behind Russia in this war. China came out and made some statements Putin didn't like when he annexed the four regions, right, that he had no legal right to do. Putin has overstepped his authority, his bounds of power, and more countries are seeing that. Putin needs to be contained, or Mother Russia needs to be contained. The only way to do that, diplomacy doesn't work. The only way to do that is to outgun him, if you will. We need the military strength. We need to give Ukraine the strength to stop him.
Obviously, Biden doesn't want to go too far because Russia's got the dirt on him.
And so does Ukraine.
Right. So, I mean, he's kind of between a rock and a hard spot, Biden is. You know, I mean, who does he fear releasing the dirt more, Russia or Ukraine? If I was him, I'd be more afraid that Russia will release it.
And you know what? We already know the dirt. We already know about, you know, their dealings with Ukraine, Hunter's dealings with Ukraine and China and this country and that country. And we know Joe is the big guy. We all know all that. So what really can Russia release that we don't know?
Well, we don't know what we don't know.
More ties with Obama in there, maybe?
Possibly.
Stuff we've always suspected anyway. There's nothing really that would come as a major shock.
At least nothing that we know of. But we don't know exactly what we don't know. You know, and that's kind of what you always have to look at. Obviously, China has the dirt. Russia has the dirt. Ukraine has the dirt. All on Biden.
Right.
Right? So, it, you know, Biden's kind of walking a tightrope right now, trying to play both ends toward the middle.
Well, let's put it this way. Biden and his beloved son, they're going to be going down when we retake the House and the Senate, because probes are going to be opened and they're going to be held in the open, transparent for all, you know, we people to see. And it's not going to end well for Joe and his son. And I think they know that.
Well,
I think they know their days are numbered.
You got to throw James Biden into the mix too, because it's a family syndicate. Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, and, I think we're going to learn more than what we know already about the depth of their ties to communist governments, China, right. Russia, Venezuela. You know, we're going to learn a lot when those probes come out. But how deep is that going to go in Russia and in Ukraine? That's the question. And that is really, I think, dictating what Biden will or won't do and on whose behalf he will or won't do it.
Well, let's put it this way. Biden's not calling the shots. We know who is.
Right. So do they have dirt on Obama?
Well, yeah. If we accept the fact that Obama is the puppet master behind Biden, Obama has a lot to hide. And I think that's the touch point of why Biden has not been allowed to do certain things. It's not about just Biden and Hunter. You got Obama. And remember, you got Hillary thrown into the mix.
Yep. Bill and Hillary.
Guess whose uranium Russia uses to build their
I know. It's ours.
It's ours. So, you know, there's a very deep syndicate here. You know, a lot of tentacles attached here.
It's going to be interesting to follow all of this as it moves ahead. And I think we're going to see some substantial things occur between now and Election Day.
I think we're going to have a big October surprise right before the month turns.
Yep. Look towards the end of this month and kind of watch your calendars and watch the news. And of course, we'll keep you up to date on anything that, we see changing or anything that we find out about it. But we're going to have to take a bottom of the hour break here. 30 minutes from now, I'm talking about Giorgia Meloni, the Italian Trump. But when we come back from the bottom of the hour break and a couple of those station IDs, Diane's got it with the politicization of Hurricane Ian, part one. Folks, stay right where you are. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. It's the Tuesday night edition of the show. If you miss any part of it, you want to go to rspradio1.com. This week, you got to wait till Thursday just to be safe. Diane's got a political event tomorrow, so she's not going to be around bright and early in the morning. She's going to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but not around the computer.
Right. Maybe tomorrow night, but...
Let's stay on
the safe side Thursday.
Right.
Yes.
So Hurricane Ian ripped through, southern and western Florida, more of the western side.
Southwest.
Yeah, and left a massive trail of destruction. But in typical liberal fashion, never let a crisis go to waste. They politicized it, and you have taken that on. In a part one, next week there's part two, but the politicization of Hurricane Ian, part one.
And let's start with this quote. I'm happy to brief the president if he's interested in hearing what we're doing in Florida. My view on all this. You've got people's lives at stake. You've got their property at stake. And we don't have time for pettiness. We've got to work together to make sure we're doing the best job for them. So I have not personally spoken with the president, but FEMA has approved our pre-landfall request. Now, those were Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's words to a reporter in the days leading up to Hurricane Ian's Southwest Florida landfall. Now, he asked for federal help as soon as he knew the hurricane was going to hit somewhere along the coast of Southwest Florida. He knew it was going to be bad, so bad that the words being bantered about included two words no one ever wants to hear, Cat 5, meaning a hurricane with sustained winds of at least 150 miles per hour, translation being destruction to the nth degree. And yet Biden still did not call Florida's governor until it was noticed by the press, and then did so only to let him know the steps the federal government would be taking to help Florida prepare for the hurricane, which in the scope of things turned out to be not all that much. First, it was expected to hit Tampa Bay area, but at the last minute, what was now Hurricane Ian, just 2 miles per hour short of being the dreaded Cat 5, turned southeast and slammed directly into the Sanibel, Fort Myers, Naples, Sarasota, and Cape Charlotte areas, destroying all of the once beautiful Sanibel and Captiva Islands, Pine Island to a bit lesser degree, and a full 80% of Fort Myers Beach and Fort Myers proper. And while Naples suffered severe damage, as did Sarasota and Cape Charlotte, they thankfully did not reach the overall cataclysmic damage the other areas did. Areas now deemed by many to be akin to a war zone. Areas that will take years, if not a decade or more, to rebuild. And while all of Florida was affected to some degree by Ian, the now many thousands of newly homeless see all they worked and strive for being taken away by Mother Nature's fury, minus the nonsense known as climate change. But no, our paradise lost will become paradise once again in due time. Rebuilding people's lives is now as important, if not more so, than rebuilding structures alone. But those on Florida's southwest coast know that the people of Florida always stand together in times of need. Craig, we did so during and in the aftermath of Hurricanes Andrew, Wilma, and Michael, to name but a few. And we will do so again, for we now have a truly good man at Florida's helm, a man who someday will be president of these United States.
Well, and in the vein of never let a crisis go to waste, you've got a certain element anywhere there is a natural disaster that thinks it's everything's up for grabs, free for the taking. And Governor DeSantis isn't putting up with any of that nonsense either, is he?
No. Now, here's his quote about that. At the end of the day, we are not going to allow lawlessness to take advantage of this situation. We are a law and order state, and this is a law and order community. So do not think that you're going to take advantage of people who've suffered misfortune. And so now begins the monumental cleanup task, a task made so much harder by the fact that the waters, which flooded the entire area, have yet to fully recede. And with 108 people now confirmed dead at the point I was writing this, many due to drowning, being unable to escape the hurricane surge or its ever-pounding rains, water remains everywhere. Even first floors of homes that somehow survived Ian's fury see both water and mud peppered with debris inches deep inside homes no longer being able to be lived in. And yet, to add insult to injury, when some residents returned to try and salvage whatever they could, they found their homes had been looted of precious memories and mementos and not lost to the storm itself, but lost because pieces of human garbage deemed them ripe for their picking. So while Governor DeSantis and others in law enforcement, others like Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marciano, who stated that, quote, we are not going to tolerate, and I mean zero tolerance, when we say anyone that thinks they're going to thrive on the residents of this county or state when we took such a horrific hit, end quote, have issued forceful statements as to what will rightfully happen to those caught looting. Liberal loons like MSNBC's Joy Reid foolishly claim that said warnings are akin to a racial threat from a segregationist, no matter that there is no mention of color nor ethnicity in any of said warnings. And while It's hard to believe that in the wake of such a nightmare that anyone would do such a thing to folks who basically have nothing left. It shows that partisan politics will always raise its ugly head, no matter the situation at hand, as in never let a good tragedy go to waste. And yet, even putting warnings aside, we find that the element of what I call miscreants and thugs are sadly doing what we hope would not happen, as committed by illegals of color, as per the Epic Times, have indeed taken place. And so, Cred, my beloved Florida's nightmare has now become a national disgrace, for the misery of many has deliberately been made worse, courtesy of the Democrats' racially based political agenda, its corresponding accusations and blame game, coupled now with race-baiting tactics claimed to be but misspeaks.
Well, you know, you can't go through something like this without having word salad Annie, in other words, Kamala Harris, pipe up and utter some bunch of nonsense. And, you know, she did that in the wake of Hurricane Ian. And this is about as dumb as anything she has ever said.
Right. And let's start by saying this latest in a series of anything but misspeaks all started with these words from VP Kamala Harris, who stated less than a day after Southwest Florida experienced one of the worst hurricanes in Florida's history, words in regards to the monumental task of cleanup and rebuilding, saying that, and I quote, "We have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding that not everybody starts out at the same place," end quote. And then she threw salt into the wounds of many by adding that, quote, "It's our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues not of their own doing," end quote. Simply, what she said was race baiting of the very worst kind. And so Kamala Harris deliberately and with malice intended not only reopened Pandora's box of racial divisiveness and hatred, but she tried to turn Hurricane Ian's savagery into a predetermined lottery of sorts in regards to having one's skin color being the deciding factor as to which group of people receives hurricane aid before anyone else. And she did so solely to help garner votes of both black folks and folks of color, votes desperately needed for the upcoming midterm election. Never mind that her words were at the expense of her fellow Americans, Americans of all skin colors, Americans who have lost everything. But being as clueless as she is, or maybe the word evil is best used here, what Kamala Harris's words really did was to shame good, decent, hardworking black folks and others of color, folks who know well that hurricanes and other natural disasters are indeed colorblind. She shamed those who are so tired of one skin color driving today's political discourse that they are walking away from what the Democrats are trying to sell. And by her opening her mouth, Kamala Harris actually helped to highlight the fact that most of those already caught looting on Florida's now devastated Southwest coast to date have indeed been people of color, thus not only justifying Governor DeSantis's and others' words, but Craig seeing the Band-Aid of Democrats initiated racial wounds again being pulled off, just like her buddy Obama did a mere decade ago.
You know, I suppose we can all be thankful that Kamala Harris is nothing but a bloviator. You know, she doesn't really do anything. She just cackles and makes stupid statements. But somebody who actually does something, somebody who's actually in a position of power, actually agreed with Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and that's pretty pathetic. But let's say, you know, while the Democrat-controlled media still tries to walk back or even justify Harris's words spoken, we sadly also find FEMA head Deanne Criswell saying that she agreed with Harris's words and that there are indeed people who have a, quote, hard time and encounter barriers accessing aid, but that our, meaning FEMA's program, supports everybody. But to her words, I must say that no group of people have been catered to more, whether it be during good or bad times, than those who comprise the collective groups of color. And while Criswell added that, quote, FEMA will not be discriminating against white people who need help, just her having to say that means that racial politics has indeed entered the fray. And so we best keep an eye on how this form of government aid is given out, and that it's done so in a fair and impartial manner, a manner totally blind to the color of one's skin. But not to be outdone by FEMA's hurricane relief efforts, as was expected, yet another ugly political turn took place when a continuing resolution known as a CR that needed to be passed by week's end, a resolution that would allow the government to stay up and running through mid-December, saw Florida's Republican representatives rightly voting against it. And why did they do so? Well, according to Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who thankfully had kept her always big mouth shut up to this point, quote, Florida congressional Republicans not only failed every family reeling from the punch Hurricane Ian just delivered in our state, but they just slapped away every American who reaches for a helping hand in a tragic time of need. And I say, really, Debbie? I think not. For the truth of why Florida's Republican representatives voted against the resolution was summed up best by our great representative, Brian Mast, who called Wasserman Schultz's move an attempt to score, quote, cheap political points off a disaster, and that the bill they are attempting to grandstand off included no resources dedicated specifically to Florida disaster relief. It was funded for the entire government until mid-December at the same unsubstantially high levels that have caused massive inflation. And Representative Mast's truthful words were added to by fellow Republican Representative Michael Walz, who stated that, quote, the Democrats' refusal to pass an on-time federal budget and reliance on CRs to fiscally irresponsible and gives our military, including services that carry out search and rescue and humanitarian efforts after national disasters, limited resources, and that the Democrats' refusal to pass an on-time budget and reliance on CRs is fiscally irresponsible, to Craig, which I might add, puts it mildly.
Well, you know, Congressman Mast and Michael Walz, you know, they made some pretty good points there, but didn't Marco Rubio actually put a finer point on it when he came out and said something about that CR?
Well, he actually did. Senator Marco Rubio asked his now Democrat political opponent, Val Demings, who publicly chastised him for his not supporting the resolution, quote, why does Congressman Demings want a package, meaning the CR, loaded with unrelated spending instead of one targeting hurricane-specific aid for Florida? Why, indeed? What with fellow Florida Senator Rick Scott also rightfully voting against the resolution, with his reason being, quote, prior to Ian's development, I made clear that I fully supported the proposed disaster funding for other states and urged Senator Chuck Schumer to put that up for a standalone vote. He refused and delayed this relief so he could use it as a political weapon to stick it in a CR that will end up fueling billions of Democrats' radical agenda right before they lose power, end quote. How right both of Florida's senators are, and how sad that Democrats see this disaster as but another means by which to pork up their radical leftist agenda. So now a state, local, and federal rescue crews continue their search for survivors, not yet being ready to say the dreaded words, recovery phrase. Thousands of homes and businesses remain without power. And today, as I write this, this being October 6, 2022, Joe Biden and his nursemaid Jill, who chose to visit the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico instead of the state of Florida first, has just landed in Fort Myers to see firsthand the hurricane damage, to meet with Governor Santis and other local officials, who will brief him on the response and recovery efforts to date, and for Biden to say, God only knows what. And that what, along with a major oops moment, will be at the heart of my next article, which will be out next Monday, The Politicalization of Hurricane Ian, Part 2.
You know, of all the dumbass things that anybody could come out and say, when Harris comes out and says, well, we got to do this as a matter of equity, really? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. So skin color decides who gets what and when?
Yep. Yep, according to her, it does. And also, what's of key importance here is this Val Demings. Okay, she's Marco's opponent. She's a congresswoman. She was a former police chief who, by the way, happened to support the defund the police movement as a
idiot.
Congresswoman.
What an idiot.
Yeah, okay. She's saying all these bad things. Marco wasn't there for the vote. Well, you know why Marco wasn't there for the vote? Miss Demings, because he was here in Florida, and there will be pictures of him here in next week's article, helping and meeting with Biden and meeting with other people to get aid for Florida. He wasn't waiting around to vote on your pork-laden resolution.
You know, this whole thing just reeks. You know, you got people, I don't care who they are. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what their political affiliation is. You got people down there in Southwest Florida that got the shit kicked out of them by this storm. And pardon my French, but, you know, it shouldn't matter what their skin color is. Everybody down there needs some relief from this. Businesses have been wiped out. People have lost their livelihoods. They've lost their homes. They've lost everything they own. You know, people have lost lives. People have lost loved ones. This isn't a matter of racial equity. And by the way, when did hurricanes become racially active?
I guess with the Biden administration.
I mean, you live in hurricane, you know, territory down there. I mean,
I've lived here most of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. So when did hurricanes become racist? I mean, racism is a learned.
Kamala Harris opened her big mouth.
Yeah, racism is a learned thing.
Exactly.
No, nobody's born racist. Hurricanes aren't born racist. Hurricanes can't even learn to become racist. Hurricanes are a matter of the weather.
Of the weather, absolutely. And there was no climate change involved in this, as you pointed out in one of your recent articles. This is an act of nature. Hurricanes have been happening for millions and millions of years, even before, you know, people walk the earth. This is just the weather. We cannot do anything to control the weather. What we can do and what we need to do is build according to stricter, you know, building
codes.
Standards.
Right.
Not just for hurricanes, but for tornadoes, for fires, for everything else. We do need to relook at some of our so-called disaster codes, but no disaster, no natural occurring disaster is based upon color.
No, and I mean, hurricanes are odd things anyway. Yes, you have very high winds in a hurricane like this. I mean, you know, this was only a couple of miles per hour off of being a category five.
Two miles. Do you imagine, Craig, for some areas, this went on for 8, 9, 10 hours of constant 100, and I believe it was
155
mile an hour winds nonstop.
You know, and what I was saying was, you know, winds are going to cause damage. There's, you know, when you get winds that high, you're going to have damage from the winds. But the real damage is done by the water.
The storm surge, which people don't know, and I don't know the technical name, but as the storm was approaching, and everybody still thought it was going to go to Tampa, it lays on Tampa Bay, basically. The wind and the negative energy from this hurricane sucked back the entire Tampa Bay.
Well, you know, hurricanes.
And then in the surge brought it across the whole southwest area. There were homes that were 8 feet deep in water.
Hurricanes swirl in a counterclockwise motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they swirl around counterclockwise, it was literally, the winds were literally pushing the water out of Tampa Bay. And as they came back around, you know, towards Fort Myers, in that area, it was pushing water in.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, you've got, you know, all sorts of different things going on in you know, that are all weather related, meteorologically.
Right.
And, but this is no time to play politics. You know, what if the Republicans played these kind of stupid games with a blue state that got hit by something like this?
Well, how about California with all the wildfires?
Yeah, but
there were no politics involved there. It wasn't the flames weren't after people of color.
No, I mean, you didn't engage in relief efforts on a matter of equity based on skin color out in California.
Right.
Wildfires go through, they burn a whole bunch of places down. And boy, you know, FEMA gets right in there and, you know, does what needs to be done. You don't hear equity. We must have equity.
No.
You know?
No.
That's crazy.
But do know there's a lot more to the politicalization of this storm, and that will be covered next week. But I also want people to know that in this article, I have two videos of DeSantis actually putting the looters on notice. No punches pulled, no anything. And then I have another video of Governor DeSantis's response to Kamala Harris. And it's quite interesting.
It is. Both of those videos need to be looked at, folks. And you can find Diane's op-ed this week, The Politicization of Hurricane Ian Part 1, in two places. You can go to her blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you can go to rspradio1.com. Either place, you can find the link to this op-ed. You can read the op-ed, and if you would, please share the op-ed, and then stand by and wait for part two next week.
Right. Right, and part two is quite interesting.
It really is. Like I said earlier in the show, I had a preview of it earlier today, and I loved it. So
he loved one line so much.
I did. I had to stop her. I mean, she was, you know, she was going through it, and I said, "Oh, hang on, that's a great line." it just really highlights the abject stupidity and political gamesmanship that you know is going on with this. But you know that CR that you talk about in this op-ed,
mm-hmm.
you know. That, you know, read that part carefully, folks, when you get down to that as you're going through this, because that CR, that continuing resolution, has nothing to do with hurricane relief for Florida. And yet the Democrats want you to think it's all about the hurricane relief.
Especially Val Demings, who's opposing Marco. Thankfully, Marco's still ahead in the race, but she, you know, do you want someone as your senator, a former police chief who actually voted in favor of defunding the police. You got to look at it that way. She's basing her whole campaign on abortion and lies, basically.
Well, she puts the stupid in butt stupid.
Yeah, she absolutely does.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it. All right, folks, we made it to the top of the hour here. That means we got to take a quick break. We got one more segment to go. And when we come back, I'm talking about Giorgia Meloni, the Italian Trump. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sori from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori over there at the Patriot Factor. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight, folks. We got one segment left. We appreciate you. Go to rspradio1.com. Not tomorrow morning. No, because we won't have the podcast up. Diane has a hoity-toity political affair to attend. I don't get to often use the words hoity-toity on the air.
That's true. It's sort of like Biden's malarkey.
Yeah. It kind of falls into that seldom used category. But no, she won't be around tomorrow morning to put the podcast up. But it'll be there Thursday, so become one of the pod people then. We'd appreciate that. All right, so they had a big election over in Italy. And they've elected a new leader by the name of Giorgia Meloni. So I looked at that. I looked at what the mainstream media has been saying about this Meloni. And the mainstream media, when it comes to Meloni, is full of baloney. That's kind of what I came to. Now, the Britannica Dictionary definition of fascism is... One, or fascism, a way of organizing a society in which a government ruled by a dictator controls the lives of the people, and in which people are not allowed to disagree with the government. Fascism is a governmental system led by a dictator having complete power, forcibly suppressing opposition and criticism, regimenting all industry, commerce, etc., and emphasizing an aggressive nationalism and often racism. While those are the dictionary definitions of fascism, they are not the liberal definition of it. To liberals, fascism is any person or party that fails to fall into lockstep with the liberal agenda. That is why liberals are trying to label conservatives as fascists. And it has become all the rage in every liberal circle you care to mention. From elected liberals to members of the liberal mainstream media to indoctrination centers, also known as public schools, to asylums of higher indoctrination, our colleges and universities, every conservative is now a fascist and every Republican Party is a beehive of fascism. Trump supporters, fascists. Another term floated about by Joe Biden is semi-fascist, whatever the hell that is. Are Republicans or are conservatives and Trump supporters really fascists? Of course not. But when you look at the dictionary definition, they're not. But should you consider the liberal definition of any person or party that fails to fall into lockstep with the liberal agenda, well then, yeah. The next obvious question is, or should be, is there a fascist party in the United States? And the answer, if you don't look at the dictionary definition of fascism, is yep. The party that comes as close as possible to the dictionary definition of fascism would be the Democrat Party, which has been infested by socialists and is hell-bent on socialism. Think about it. Is the Democrat Party trying to organize society into a situation whereby the people are ruled by dictatorial decree designed to control the lives of the people who are not allowed to disagree with the government? To that question, Diane, I have to say simply, absolutely.
Yeah, very true. But it's very interesting that if you do disagree with the liberal agenda, there are certain things that are done to you. And it seems to be across the board. No matter how you agree with them, certain things are done.
Yeah, disagree with the liberal agenda or the liberal government and the current regime will have you banned from social media, banned from speaking in the public square, think school board meetings, and they will sure as hell try to ban you from employment via the cancel culture. Now, you say that during the manufactured COVID pandemic panic that you wanted to attend your church of choice. You say you wanted to attend a loved one's funeral? You say you wanted your kids to attend school? No way. Not under the rule of the Biden regime. Maybe you just wanted to go to work and earn a living so that you could put food on the table and pay your bills. Not allowed under the Biden regime. Perhaps you were in the military and you had an objection to getting vaccinated by something that was untested and unknown. Well, the Biden regime booted you out of the military for thinking that way. However, if you were an illegal alien or ran a pot shop or were a stripper in a club, your lives were put on indefinite hold. You were allowed to go about your business. If you dared to question the outcome of the 2020 election via social media, poof, your accounts were deleted. If you dared to try and discuss Hunter Biden's laptop on social media, poof, your accounts disappeared. If you were or are a Trump supporter and you dared to be in D.C. on January 6, 2021, or dared to not be there, yet you maybe had a Trump sign in your yard, knock, knock, who's there? The FBI, that's who. Let's say you're a kid on a field trip visiting the Lincoln Memorial and some idiot starts yelling at you from less than a foot from your face. And all you do is stand there smiling. And what does the liberal media label you? A Nazi. You're a kid trying to help people in a city during a riot where liberals are burning businesses to the ground and liberals start chasing you through the darkened streets trying to harm or kill you. What do? Well, if you're armed, you defend yourself. And what does the liberal media call you? A Nazi. Wear a MAGA, Make America Great Again hat, advocate for lower taxes, stand against foolishness like the Green New Deal, voice your opposition to mail-in ballots, and voice your support for voter ID. And what are you, according to liberals? you're a racist, Nazi, fascist. America first, fascist. All lives matter, fascist, racist. No vax for you, Fauci lied. No masks, the world's not going to end in 10 years due to climate change. Wind and solar don't work. Close the border, clean up the streets of crazy homeless drug addicts, put criminals in prisons, energy independence, you fascist, racist, Nazi. Trump 2024. You unmitigated racist, Nazi, fascist, worse than Al-Qaeda hate-mongering bastard. Diane, you either get into lockstep with the liberal agenda or you're in grave danger of being investigated by the FBI and audited by 87,000 new IRS agents. You'll never see the light of a free day again. And that is fascism.
Well, you know, there are two sides to every coin. And if we're all fascists, according to Biden and crew, well, if we were, wouldn't we be doing certain things that we are not doing?
Well, yeah, you would think so. The flip side of the coin is that if you do fail to follow the liberal agenda by lockstep, you'll soon be begging the government to provide for you, to take care of you from cradle to grave. And you'll end up completely reliant on the government for your every need. Want to fight off cancer? Sorry. You supported Trump. Go to hell. That's why liberals are melting down over Italy's new leader, Gloria Meloni. She was recently elected as the first female prime minister in Italy. Her party, the Brothers of Italy, won that election. She is a conservative. Her party is conservative. Other conservative parties in Italy are coming together to form a government that might be about 45% conservative, giving conservatives control of Italy's government. Maloney's slogan throughout the election was God, family, and country. She and the Brothers of Italy believe in conservatism, nationalism, nativism, soft Euroscepticism, and opposition to immigration. Our liberal media, and for that matter, the liberal media in Europe, are incredulous over Meloni's victory, and they're calling her and her party fascists. So, what party currently controls Italy? Which party did the people of Italy vote out of power? The Democratic Party, Partito Democratico, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. My Italian is rusty. The liberals, they are the Socialist Democrats, who stress national and social cohesion, progressivism, a moderate social liberalism, green issues, progressive taxation, pro-Europeanism, read globalism, and their primary source of inspiration just happens to be American liberalism. The Italian Liberal Party of Socialists, like the liberals in our country, have basically thrown open their borders to the point that the influx of other cultures having no desire to integrate into the Italian culture is tearing apart the cultural fabric of Italy. Diane, under the liberal leadership of the Democratic Party in Italy, the people of that great nation are paying higher and higher taxes, have less and less say in government affairs, and are being overwhelmed by immigration from countries and people who want to turn Italy into the lands they left, and the bent towards green energy is destroying the Italian economy.
Well, there's reasons, specific reasons, why in your title you kind of liken her to President Trump. And some of those reasons, if you close your eyes, what she was doing is what Trump did.
Right. Giorgia Meloni wants to right the ship of state by putting Italy first. She wants to mend the fabric of her nation by stemming the flow of immigrants and placing strict controls on who and how many can apply for citizenship. She wants to lower taxes and provide the people of Italy with the opportunity to raise themselves up. Maloney sees green energy for exactly what it is, a drain on the economy and a mechanism by which the government can extract more and more taxes while exerting more and more control over the people. Liberals in our country and Europe are calling Maloney a fascist, and they're all likening her to Benito Mussolini. They say that she's the leader of a party that descends from the neo-fascist Italian socialist movement, which was formed by supporters of former dictator Benito Mussolini after the Second World War. But they won't provide you with the facts surrounding Mussolini. It's been said that Mussolini's attitudes were highly theatrical, his opinions were contradictory, his facts were often wrong, and his attacks were frequently malicious and misdirected. Mussolini had no intention of putting Italy or the Italian people first. He was all about Mussolini first. Mussolini sent goon squads all the way through Italy to intimidate the people opposed to him, and he had his supporters ridicule and harass those who opposed him. Mussolini, as a fascist, soon inaugurated ambitious programs of public works that came at a staggering price to his country and to the Italian people. To further quell opposition, Mussolini abolished the two-party system in Italy in favor of a one-party system, his party. Opposition parties and the free press were outlawed, while free speech was crushed, and soon a network of spies and secret police under the control of the Italian government and the fascist party was invading the privacy of the Italian population. What Mussolini did then is what the Democrat Party in Italy is doing today. And for that matter, it's what the Obama regime began as the fundamental transformation of America in 2008, and he's still trying to do through the facade of Joe Biden today. It's straight out of the liberal playbook, just as is projecting their own actions onto those who oppose them. So, why is liberal media in our country and in Europe engaged in the smear campaign against Giorgia Meloni? It's simple, really. She is the Italian Trump, and they're terrified that she might undo all their fascist programs in favor of an Italy First agenda. It's not fascism, those in power there or here fear. It's the loss of power that they themselves have stolen through the use of fascism. The Italian Democrat Party, just like the one our elected liberals are here in our country, are terrified that once people see the advantages of less reliance on government and a stronger economy brought about by less government control and more personal freedom, they'll like it. Diane, what Giorgia Meloni is no different than what Donald Trump is, a nationalist. And being a nationalist is a far cry from being a fascist, regardless of what the liberals want you to believe. According to authorities on the topic, fascism is a government form, nationalism is a belief that your country is the best, and its values need to be protected and spread. While this is a critical point of fascism too, fascism is an extension of militarism, nationalism, and socialism.
Well, you know, when you look at the context of all this, it really does boil down to one word, and that word is nationalism. However, nationalism is not quite what they're trying to purport it to be.
No, nationalism is not authoritarian in nature. It is the belief that one's nation deserves loyalty and that the interests of one nation should come before those of other nations. It's a belief that, first and foremost, one's own country should be the focus of its own problems, solve those problems, and prosper. Fascism upholds a belief in the power of the state to push an agenda toward imperialism and rule over its people, thus making them into subjects. If Giorgia Meloni can do for Italy what Trump did for the United States, raise the standard of living while lowering the cost of living, while standing strong against the globalist elite, liberals have a right to be terrified, as it just might catch on in Europe, signaling an end to liberal rule in favor of conservative leadership. Congratulations to Giorgia Meloni. May her victory be a victory for us all.
No, that's very true. True. I called her Trump in a dress.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, she is the Italian Trump. She wants Italy to be the best Italy it can possibly be. And she wants to protect Italian culture. Italian culture is a rich, storied culture. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of years in the making. Why destroy that?
Well, basically what she is what Trump is, what we who put America first are. She's a statist.
Right. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. She believes in Italian exceptionalism just like we believe in American exceptionalism. And there is nothing wrong with that.
No, Giorgia Meloni, the new prime minister of Italy, she looks at the problems that Italy has right now and their economic problems. That's top of mind to everybody. You know, right. I don't care if you're from, you know, this country or her country, you know, economy. She looks at the green stuff over there, you know, all this green energy crap. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, that's just a drain on the economy.
Right.
She understands, Meloni understands, the importance of solving Italy's problems first before they go try and solve everybody else's problems. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. We'd be a better world if people put their country first instead of trying to butt into every other country's business. And fascism does that as well because it needs to spread outward. It's not happy being contained in one area.
No,
needs to constantly be fed into.
Right. Fascism is by its very nature imperialistic.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, you look at what Hitler was trying to do, fascist. You look at what Mussolini was trying to do, fascist. You know, they had world domination on their minds. You know, Hitler wasn't putting Germany first. He was trying to take over the world. Mussolini was trying to help him. That's
exactly.
Not Giorgia Meloni.
No. No. People misuse words, and then they take what they're saying as truth, even though their misuse is anything but truth. And that's where the media comes in, because they will take that distorted, twisted truth and try to make it into real, believable truth. But it's not.
Right. And that's what the mainstream media in this country is trying to do to Giorgia Meloni. They're trying to paint her with a broad fascist brush, and it's simply not true. You know,
and guess who's helping? You know, the liberals over here.
Right. And it's crazy. It's crazy what's going on. You know, it's going to be interesting over the next year, year and a half, 2 years, to see what Giorgia Meloni is able to do in Italy. But the important thing is, it is the people of Italy who made this choice. And that's why the liberals in their country and our country are scared. That's why they're terrified. They see this as, you know, having a strong possibility of becoming a global thing, where conservative movements away from these liberal progressive agendas catches hold. They're afraid that people in Europe might look at the positive changes coming about in Italy and say, you know what? We need some of that in our country.
Yep. Yes, it's very sad because we can see what happened in this country being stopped by what happened in Italy if we would just follow the lead of this woman and apply it here. She was able to stop the takeover of Italy, basically, by truth.
Right.
People will listen to the truth if it's presented the correct way.
Well, and people in Italy, just like people in this country, they've had enough. They see where the problem lies.
Right.
You know, they're starting to catch on. These liberal ideas and this liberal agenda aren't solving their problems, and they want their problems solved. Like I said, it's going to be interesting over the next year or two to see what happens in Italy. But the Italian government, and a lot of people don't realize this, but the Italian government changes the entire government more often than most people change their socks. I think since World War II, they've had 55 or 60 some odd governments. I mean, they come in, they go out, they come in, they go out. It's going to be interesting to see how much time Meloni is given to make these changes. But as I say in the commentary, if she can do for Italy what Trump did for the United States, they're going to keep her hanging around for a while.
Absolutely. I think they will. If she's half as good as she purports to be, they've got a great leader over there.
You know, you don't think of Italy as being a real player on the world stage. And I mean, you know, Italy is not one of your bigger countries, obviously, and they're not.
It's got the best food, though.
they do. They do. I'll give them that. You know, but you know, they're not a military power. They're not a superpower. They're not an economic power. You know, but I'll tell you what, Italy has one of the richest, most beautiful cultures that you're ever going to find anywhere. Now, that doesn't mean you always have to agree with how the Italians have handled everything. They were certainly on the wrong side of World War II. Okay, but that was the government, not necessarily the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
But preserve the Italian culture. Enrich the Italian culture. Make the Italian people proud to be Italians in Italy again. You know, and sky's the limit. I mean, you know, once this catches on, Europe could go conservative.
It could, but it'll take quite a bit of time for that to happen, if it ever did happen. Well, as long as people like Macron and those sorts are around, it's not going to happen.
It's interesting, during her campaign, you know who was on the campaign trail with her in Italy?
Who?
Steve Bannon.
Ah, okay.
One of Trump's people was actually photographed on the campaign trail in Italy with Giorgia Meloni. You know, so okay. you get the feeling, if Trump gets back in and Meloni's there, there's going to be a real alliance there that you know, stronger and more visible. I mean, we've always had a good alliance, you know, since the end of World War II. We've always had a good alliance with Italy, but it'll be more visible than it's been in decades.
Yeah, and you know, as much as Italy and the United States since World War II have been allies together, this will solidify that alliance.
Yeah. So good luck.
Once we get Biden out of office,
right,
or even before, if we turn, you know, the Congress and the Senate back red.
You know, we've got less than a month coming up on our election. Italy just made great strides in their election, regardless of what the mainstream media here or there has to say about it. We wish Giorgia Meloni all the best as she start solving Italy's problems. You can find the commentary in two places. Giorgia Meloni, the Italian Trump, either at my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or at rspradio1.com. Get the link, read the article, share the link, and then sit by and let's watch what Giorgia Meloni does as the new Prime Minister of Italy.
Right. Hopefully she's going to do a good job.
I expect great things. I really do, too.
I think she's going to be around for quite a while.
It's going to be interesting, too, when she gets up on the world stage as the prime minister. I don't think she's going to be a shrinking Violet by any means.
No, I think she's got a bit of Margaret Thatcher in her and Golda Meir and all the other great prime ministers.
She's pretty outspoken, and that's what the people of Italy liked about her. So
yeah, but she tells the truth.
That's right.
You could be outspoken and lie through your teeth, but she actually tells the truth.
Folks, we got to run. That's the end of the show tonight. We've run plumb out of time. Remember, show tonight, podcast, is going to be on the website come Thursday, not tomorrow.
Right.
Just bear that in mind. I don't want to get any letters. Where's the podcast?
Right. It might, like I said in the beginning, there's a very outside chance that it might just show up on the, you know, podcast with a link to Podbean, but nowhere else until Thursday morning.
Yep. So just stand by. It'll get there. Trust us.
Mm-hmm.
With that, Diane, we've hit the end of the show.
Yes, we have. So it's time to say nighty-night.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you on Friday. Bye-bye.